purpose of this call is really to help you put money in your pockets as an agency manager. This is not meant to be a call on personal production or how to get a lot of business issued necessarily. It's about building teams, building and growing teams, and making money that way. Now, certainly personal production and getting business issued is certainly important, and so we do touch on it from time to time. But mostly what we're talking about here is building teams. And I think everybody on this call has been invited on this call, so you know what to expect. With that, we normally have to get kicked off with a roll call, find out who's with us this morning. I'm actually going to postpone that just for a little bit. There's some things I wanted to go over before we before I did that. I didn't want to spend all call on roll call. I had some things that definitely need to get covered, and so I'm going to make sure I get this taken care of, and then we'll do roll call if we have time left over. It's funny the things that I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this or not. But when you're heading to something great, you start getting little attacks from all kinds of directions. For example, I come in this morning in a great mood, and I see this letter, this marketing letter, and we all get these letters because we're all licensed agents, right? We're all on the mailing list. It's from Equita Mortgage Group, and it says in the upper left-hand corner, "Are you being held down by a multi-level marketing organization?" And this is an insurance, it's a mortgage protection company. And then it shows promotion guidelines to go from 70 to 100% contract. And it breaks it down, all basically based on personal production. There's no contract there for building teams. And the upper right-hand corner says promotion guidelines, 70 to 100% contract. And I looked at this, and I was like, boy, this looks familiar. And I pulled up the NAA promotion guidelines. It takes you from a 55 to an 85%, and it's laid out exactly the same. Where their logo is, ours was. Where it says in the upper right-hand corner, promotion guidelines, 70 to 100% contract, ours is there. I mean, it says the same thing there. Even the small print at the bottom where the asterisk is just like ours. I mean, word for word, except instead of NAA, they were smart enough to take that out and put Equita Mortgage Group in there. And so I'm reading it, and I'm going, okay, I guess imitation is the ultimate form of flattery, right? It's the highest form of flattery. So they're obviously copying us. They've gotten our promotion guidelines, which is no secret. They're out there on a website; everybody can see them. And then I'm like, but it's just sort of, I don't know. Are you being held down by a multi-level marketing organization? And it's companies like this that weed out the weak, in my opinion. It's companies like this that. You know what? Weed out the losers. And if I were in the Serengeti as a lion, maybe I would eat the weakest yak. But in the insurance business, I don't want the weak. The weak cost me money. So, I mean, it's just one of these things that as I'm walking in this morning, I'm kind of opening some mail and looking through some things. I'm going, this is just dumb. And it kind of got under my skin. I don't know why. I have pretty thick skin, but it got under my skin. And I get to the office this morning, and Melissa says, "Hey, did you get my email? I shot you an email on your BlackBerry." I said, "No, I didn't get it. I had some issues this morning. My BlackBerry wasn't sending me my emails." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, your next door neighbor called. There's something in the yard." My next door neighbor's like this 88-year-old woman and widow, and she's basically what she does all day is watches our house from her kitchen, and. So at first I was like, gosh, she's just crazy. Then I thought, well, what if there's, Heather and Joseph are at home, they're still sleeping. When I got here, they were still home sleeping. What if there's somebody or something in the yard that, could harm them? And so I jumped back in my car. We live 2 miles away. So jumped back in the car, drove back home, nothing in the yard. I go inside, and Heather's there playing with Joseph, and our next-door neighbor had come over and woken them up and said, I want you to fix your sprinkler head. That was what was wrong in our yard. She wants us to fix one of our sprinkler heads. Well, we got this, next to her driveway, we have a whole line of sprinkler heads that water our front yard. And when we first bought the house almost 2 years ago, the people we bought it from said, got to watch out for the next-door neighbors. They run over this one sprinkler head, and they're constantly breaking it. And so the last time she brought it up to me, she said, you know what? Your sprinkler head is spraying my car, and it's flooding my driveway. And I said, well, let's go look at it. And so we went over there, and I showed her, and I'm no Columbo, I'm no detective, but I'm observant, right? I showed her that you see these tracks that are in my yard that run right over the sprinkler head? Those actually match your tire. And I can see where you ran over it, backed up, and then came on your driveway. And we've already replaced the thing two times. So that was the big emergency this morning, was she wanted me to replace my sprinkler head again. And I told her, you know what, when you learn how to back out of your driveway, I'll be happy to do that. So it's funny. I don't know if this happens to anybody else, but when you're heading to something great, when you know that you have something important to accomplish, either at that moment or in the future, at some point, you seem to start getting attacked. And this was just little stuff this morning. Some people say, Fitz, you weren't being attacked. Just quit being a baby. But I know attacks. I know that, you know, this is stuff that I let get under my skin. I allowed it to happen. I allowed it to affect my attitude this morning because I was coming in this morning thinking, man, I got some good stuff I want to talk to the guys on the call this morning about. I covered some of it when I was in Seattle last week and thankfully got out before everything happened up there I don't know if you guys are watching the news, but our thoughts and prayers are with everybody in that northwest area. Big storms coming in, and came in, rather. But I covered some stuff while I was up there, and what was so cool was I kind of prepared it on the plane and had it all ready because it's a four-hour flight, and so I had plenty of time to spend time on the plane. And I was thinking about it all morning. I actually woke up thinking, this is what I'm going to talk about on the conference call. I can't wait to talk about it. And then all that little stuff happens. And so I say all that, and I say that not to try to bring you down with, you know, the attacks that I've had this morning, but just to encourage you, because a lot of you guys may be heading into Christmas or maybe heading into the new year with this, with great expectation of things that are coming. You've been working hard. You've been keeping your hand to the plow, as my mom used to say. And you see great things coming. You're starting to see great rewards. You're starting to see good commissions coming in, and then all of a sudden, you get a phone call from an agent, and they're quitting. Or things are really starting to happen. Your commissions are picking up. Maybe you got a full time job, and you quit that full time job to do this full time, and then all of a sudden, bam, you have a big chargeback. It's all kinds of stuff like that, guys, and you just have to realize that those are attacks that are trying to pull you away from where you're heading. It literally is an attack that's trying to steer you off the path that you're on. And I'm just here to encourage you this morning to say, you know what, that never stops, number one. Number two, you've got to learn how to deal with it. And number three, you've got to keep pushing on. I got an email this morning from Bill Lampe. And I think everybody knows who Bill Lampe is. Ralph, then the Wallaces, then Bill Lampe. And Bill and I email quite frequently back and forth. We chat a bunch, frankly, because I just like them. I don't think I actually make any money on them anymore based on the way structure is. But you know what? I like them, and I like helping people that I like. It just, you know, makes this business more fun to work with people that I like and that like me. He shot me an email and said, hey, I got this agent, you know, that's calling one of my agents, wanting to come on board with us, but he used to be one of your agents. And I said, okay. You know, I'm looking at the email going, okay. And I pulled the guy up because Bill's just like, you know, what do you want me to do from here? I've told the guy, I'm going to check with you about what you want me to do. And my standard response is, you know, if somebody doesn't want to work with me, I don't want to work with them. It's really very simple. I'm not like a lot of managers that will latch on to somebody and say, no, they're mine. You know, I have a wealth mentality, not a poverty mentality. And so, there's plenty of people out there. One guy's not going to make or break me. And so, I looked up this guy's information. He came on board with us back in July. We gave him 28 leads and he wrote two applications. Last one was in the middle of October. And so my response back to Bill was, you can take him. I sent the email out to people in the office and said, hey, what do you think about this guy? And most of the responses that came back were, who is he? 28 leads, two applications. He's a guy that, you know, never, when we pursued him, he never came back and you know, tried to get help. And so we cut him off of leads because his number stunk, and that's why he's trying to go somewhere else. So I did warn Bill saying, look, this guy's just trying to go somewhere else to get leads because we're not giving him any. And so it's just, you know, all that kind of stuff. Stuff like that just happens all the time when you have a dream and you're pushing toward it. But as they say, a dog in the hunt doesn't know he has fleas. And, you know, that's a pretty good analogy. When you're in the hunt, none of that stuff really matters. It really just rolls off of you. And so you can't let – and I'm saying this morning because I know there's people. I know there's people on this call. I've talked to several of you that have fleas, so to speak. You know, you got little things biting at you all the time, maybe family members or friends or could be neighbors, you know, the 88-year-old that's got nothing to do but watch your house from inside her kitchen all day. It could be anything. Could be your spouse. Could be, you know, Citibank wanting their monthly payment. Could be anything. And I just encourage you guys today you know what, be thankful that you're seeing those attacks. If you're getting that kind of stuff, don't hesitate to thank God that you're getting it, because that means you're on the right path. It means you are heading to somewhere great. You never face resistance when you're heading to somewhere lousy. You know, when you're heading to destruction, there's never any resistance getting there. There's only resistance. And think about it, like climbing Mount Everest. To go to the peak of Mount Everest, there's a ton of resistance. If you wanted to go back down Mount Everest, all you'd have to do is jump. Which is easier? Going down. Which you know, you never hear people say, I jumped down from Mount Everest. No. I mean, the big thing is the people that climbed Mount Everest. And so anytime you're going to climb somewhere, anytime you're going to elevate yourself and go to a new place in life, you're going to face challenges, and if you're not facing challenges, you are not heading up. I'm just telling you that this morning, guys, because I know there's a lot of you maybe that are hurting financially, emotionally, spiritually. You're just getting crapped on day in and day out. Welcome to 1099 world. Welcome to owning your own business. That happens. You have to learn how to deal with it, and if you can't, then you are doomed to not being in this kind of business for the rest of your life. You're sentencing yourself to a level of mediocrity. You have to learn how to deal with the obstacles so you can continue to elevate your life. Again, welcome those obstacles. Welcome those challenges. That means you're heading up towards the peak. That's a great thing. And so I know sometimes when you're getting, you know, especially when it comes from people that you love so close, getting pop shots at you, you know, they're just firing these little BB guns at you, and you go, well, dang, that hurts a little bit. It's not enough to kill me, but it hurts. You know, that's, be thankful. I know it's hard to be thankful when that kind of stuff is happening, but be thankful when it's happening, because you know you're onto something big. So, that said, that wasn't even what I was going to talk about this morning. But I just, you know what, it was just one of those things, I felt like I needed to say it just now. I'm seeing emails come across, so let me... Let me read these emails before I jump into the slides that I created. Okay. All right. Again, if you're trying to get on the GoToMeeting, the meeting ID, you need to go to https://www.gotomeeting.com. And the meeting ID is 254-374-503. Okay, let me jump into some of these slides. Everybody okay?
Yes. No, that was Joseph Coleman, so...
Oh, okay.
Pit bull dog, whatever you want to call me, I'm fine.
All right. Can everybody see that?
Yeah.
Recruit width, which is addition to build depth, multiplication. Don't worry, Dan, I'm not going to go for 4 hours. the other night in Seattle, I was doing advanced training after the opportunity meeting and never get to go see those guys, so I just kept talking. And I said, you're welcome to leave if you want, but I want to say all this stuff. So some of this is a little bit of repetition from Seattle, but it never hurts to hear again. Recruit width to build depth. That's the big lesson of today. It's kind of fun right now what's going on as far as what I'm doing. I'm having fun in this business right now, and if you're not having fun, you know, check with your manager on how to have fun, but I'm having fun, and it has nothing to do with money that I'm making or not making or bonus that I'm making or not making, which, by the way, get all F&G business in, get it approved before the end of the year so we can get bonus back. But it has none of that. It has to do with I feel like I've passed through some obstacles. I've passed through some tests. I've passed through some challenges, and I came out winning. I came out ahead of where I was. And so right now, some of this business is a lot of fun for me. Most of this business is a lot of some of the parts of the business will never be fun. Like seeing lead bills hit, that's just never fun. I don't care who you are. I never like to see money go out of the account. I prefer to see it come in. But, you know, one of the things that a couple weeks ago, I was at the Cats doing a meeting for the Cats organization in North Carolina, and this week I'm going to Kentucky to do a meeting for Mike Levantovich. And one of the things that people are asking me about right now is about, you know, how to multiply your business. And and so I said, you know what, I really need to talk about recruiting width, which is addition, to build depth, which is multiplication. And what I've done here is I've kind of drawn out a little bit of a flow chart. There we go. You need to recruit 6 people immediately. Now, the idea is now, and I had somebody at the Cats organization, this guy will remain nameless, because he probably will remain nameless with NAA because of his attitude. But he was like, well, Fitz, it's so easy for you to recruit with because you have a staff. You've gone on record as saying that your recruiting budget, including salaries, is almost $200,000 a year. It's easier for you to recruit. And I'm going, you know, it was just a couple of years ago that I was just hoping to make $200,000 in a year. Now my recruiting budget is $200,000. It's called growth. It was not long ago that I was $80,000 in credit card debt. You know, I haven't always had this budget. And so before the budget was what it is now, I had to do this stuff on my own, just like the rest of us. That's why I'm qualified to teach on this, because I've done it. And so if it takes you a month to get those 6 people in, then it takes you a month. Big stinking deal. The idea is you can do this maybe every other week. Twice a month, you get 6 people in personally to you. Now, eventually, what I recommend, and if I were in the field today, if I were personally producing, I'd have somebody booking my appointments. Just because I'm such a believer now in doing the things that are the most profitable for you to do. What's most profitable for me to do is not run newspaper ads and talk to people who respond. That's not what's most profitable for me. What's most profitable for me is once those people are on board, talking to those people about building teams and really talking to the people who have voiced an interest in building teams. That's what's most profitable for me. So, that said, as soon as you can, it's not a bad idea to get kind of a recruiting staff. And your first hire that you bring on in your office, that could be somebody that, you know, works pending, which is a thing that's so necessary to do. Like when Joanne first came on, she did pending. She helped me with recruiting. She scrubbed apps. She even helped distribute leads. You know, she did a little bit of everything. That's your first hire, somebody that can multitask like that. But whatever you do, get these 6 people in. This is addition. I'm going to show you how to multiply here. Now, in this example, green means this is somebody who wants to build. Red means this is somebody who quit. And black means these are people who are just hanging around. these folks that hang around are the ones that, you know, are just kind of writing some personal production from time to time. I think the difference between a mediocre agency and an exceptional agency, I think one of the biggest differences is that the exceptional agencies are exceptional at keeping these seat fillers around. I call them seat fillers. People that aren't, you know, that aren't blowing it up. They're not the most fired up, but they're consistent. They come to your meetings. They tune into your conference calls. They listen to your MP3s. Their volume is not huge, but it's, you know, it's there. Maybe it's sporadic, but it's there. I want to sell you on how important these seat fillers are, because, again, the biggest difference between a mediocre agency and an exceptional agency is the exceptional agency keeps these folks around. The mediocre agency will get fed up with these people and say, why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you doing more? And they'll start whipping them, you know. Come on, do more. Run some ads. You ought to be out there selling. You know, just beating the crap out of this guy, right? Well, I've seen so many agencies beat the crap out of their people, and the people quit. Well, what I have found, and I got this term from the Katz agency, is to see, I go and I do a lot of mentoring and speaking for other agencies with NAA. I go for really kind of, it's espionage almost. Like, I'm going in and I'm trying to find out what they're doing and get some terms and get some ideas that I can use in my own business. Well, Anthony Montalban at the Katz agency used this. He said, hey, and I like this. I used to call them marinators, but he called them soakers. They're soakers. When you hire these six people, see, in this six, and this is basically, you're going to get one out of three that quit, one out of three that soak, that just kind of hang around, and one out of three that are really like a firecracker. You light them and they just, you know, wow, that guy did great. Okay? Well, and so what I'm showing you here on this screen is not a picture this is not a picture perfect. Actually, this is probably the way it's going to work out. You recruit your six, and one immediately wants to start building, and two immediately want to quit, and the other three just say, hey, you know, I want to check things out. I want to hang out, see how things go. I never could understand those people. I never was a soaker. I say that, but I've been soaking for a long time. I'm still soaking. I'm still not reaching my potential. And so, in this example, you recruited those six. Oh, a soaker. A soaker is just somebody that hangs around. Typically, a soaker, like I was saying, a soaker is somebody that you make money on while you're working with the firecracker. I'm trying to remember the statistic I heard. I don't know if it was from the IRS. It was from some governmental organization. But, I don't know, like 95% of small businesses fail in the first year, I think it is. And the five, I can't remember the exact statistics. But
In the first five years? Yes, sir.
But it's something, maybe that's it. But then, no, I think it's, what I read was it was like maybe 80% or something in the first year fail. The other 20% see great success. And like 95% of that remaining 20% will fail before 5 years is up. Did everybody follow that? So in the first year, 80% of small businesses fall by the wayside. The remaining 20%, only 5% are still around at the end of 5 years. And here's why that happens. Because people come on board, or not come on board here, people start a company. And the ones who don't see immediate success, well, maybe they just didn't have a good plan, they didn't have a good strategy, they didn't have good mentorship, whatever. I mean, all kinds of factors play in that. They fail. Well, the other ones see immediate success and see great success. But instead of being smart with it and building infrastructure with it, reinvesting in their business at such a critical time, instead of doing that, they go out and buy a new boat. They go out and buy a new house. They go out and buy a huge car. They go out and buy, you know, all these things. They spend that money. And then they have what I know is an inevitable hiccup in their business, an inevitable speed bump. And because they spend all their money, they're out of business. See, that was, you know, it's kind of cool for us. I mean, it's a great thing for me and Heather. One of the things we did was, because we were just, she was raised by very fiscally conservative parents. I looked to Andy and Barry and Philip for a lot of financial advice, and the advice they gave me was, Fitz, put your money back into your business. Save money. You don't need to spend it. Live conservatively while you can. Alex Avian's another one who did that. He lived conservatively while he could. With five kids, and he and his wife, they live in an 1,800-square-foot townhome. I just heard while I was a week and a half ago now, while I was at the CATS organization, that Avian just purchased a 9,500-square-foot home for $1.3 million in Dayton, Ohio. He's been making a ton of money for years now. But he lived in an 1,800-square-foot townhome with five kids and his wife. Why? Live conservatively. He was reinvesting back in his business and building the income up instead of blowing it on things that are temporal and aren't going to grow your business. Okay, so this, like in this example on this screen, number three is a firecracker. One, four, and five, they're soakers. They're hanging around. They're coming to meetings. They're writing some apps. They're not really looking to get promoted because they know they're not doing anything to get promoted. They're just sort of hanging out. Some people on this call that were that I consider kind of soakers, probably the top three agencies on this call. Cameron, Dan, and Joseph. They soaked. They kind of hung out before they exploded. They didn't explode immediately. They hung out for a little bit. They checked things out. They did some personal production. They kind of grew slowly, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, it just blew up. Those three were soakers. I was a soaker. When NAA formed, I wasn't a major agency. I was a soaker. I'd been soaking for a few years already. But Andy was making money on me during that time. I was out there producing. I was slowly building teams. I was soaking. I was coming to all the meetings, tuning into all conference calls, listening to MP3s, reading all the books. I was soaking. I wasn't a firecracker like others. I've seen a lot of firecrackers come and go, just like a normal firecracker. They kind of come on, boom, they're gone. What happened? I don't know. But the soakers are still here. So what happens is you recruit your first six. Out of that six, really number three pops his head up and says, Hey, I kind of like the idea of building a team. Can you help me? And you say, yeah. So as you're putting on your next six, which is 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, while you're putting on that next batch of width, you're also helping him find three people for himself. And again, this is just an example. It could work any number of ways. And out of that, he's got one out of three that quit, one out of three that's a firecracker, one out of three that's a soaker. So this makes sense to everybody so far. See, where it's multiplication is me and number three, or you and number three, get to help build his team. That's multiplication. That's two people doing it instead of just one. The width is addition because it's just you doing it. Now, here's where you have an advantage of hiring a recruiter, is that that width is just being done for you. See, what happens in our office, and a lot of you guys have experienced this, what happens in our office is Joanne and Ian are recruiting. They're boom, 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 boom. They're putting in 50-plus in a month by themselves. And that gives me an opportunity for people to say, hey, I want to start building a team. Well, in our office, people are trained to know that when they hear that, they go, Fitz, this guy wants to build a team. And that's where I step in. I don't mess with them on teaching them how to use waiver of premium. I don't teach them how to use software, though I know how to do all those things. I don't recruit them. All I do is work with them once they want to start building. Because I would rather do the things that multiply my efforts than the things that just add my efforts. So we continue on. Boom. You see how this slide has just increased. And this is the last slide of this example. But you can see, of the original six, number three was a firecracker. We found 3A out of him, and underneath that guy, there were three more people. So now we've taken three too deep below him. So that third guy we recruited is now three deep for us. It's him, and then one below that. The second set of six that we recruited, there were two people that actually popped their heads up and said, hey, I want to do this. And so we dropped underneath them and started working with them, all the while putting in our next set of six. which means those are 18 wide. We are personal recruits now. But the volume is coming from the depth. Does that make sense to everybody? Because so often I talk about recruiting depth, I mean recruiting width and building depth and on and on, and so often I feel like maybe it's not really understood. So I put this graphically together so you could see a little bit more of what I was trying to get at. Please ask questions. I'm actually looking for feedback. No questions? Everybody gets it?
Yes.
Yes, everybody gets it?
Yes.
Beautiful.
That's Joseph. I get it.
Yeah.
At what volume level do you suggest starting to recruit these people?
At what volume level do they need to be at?
No. Do you need to be at?
When do you want to start recruiting?
Already started.
Okay. I mean, that's to me, and who's asking that question?
It's Angelo Feller.
Hey, Angelo. It's, you know, in this world, in this insurance world that we're in, there are really two people, in my opinion. There's the personal producer and there's the recruiter. There's the builder. Those are the two people. Now, they both can be considered leaders, but to me, a builder does personal production, does volume, just to make money to fund their business. But their ultimate goal is to build teams and to get out of the business and get out of the personal production side. So whatever volume they're at. So if I take somebody to an opportunity meeting that we're doing, and we, you know, after the opportunity meeting, I go, okay, here's what we're going to do. Between now and tomorrow at 2, I need you to put down a list of like 50 people, your top 50. And if you hadn't, when we get back together tomorrow at 2, I'm going to sit down with you and help you create that list. This list is for two reasons. One, these are people that you're going to practice your presentation with, your in-home presentation. Go practice. These are people that love you, care about you, are going to give you honest feedback if you're coming across as, you know, pushy or a jerk or whatever. And they may even actually purchase, too. So you get practice, and you may make a sale. But at the end of the presentation, we're going to do this oh-by-the-way thing, just like we would in a real appointment. We're going to do this oh-by-the-way and find out who they know that would like to make an extra $500 to $1,000 a month. Maybe them, maybe somebody they know. And so, boom, just like that. Somebody I bring to an opportunity meeting, I'm now helping them build depth. If they look at me and say, Fitz, I don't want to build, I'll go, fantastic. Do you know anybody that does? I got to spend my time with those people who do. So there's no volume levels that I'm looking for somebody to have for me to start building with them. But I say that, I say this at the same time. I know people who build teams thinking that, okay, if I can stick it out long enough financially, if I can hold out long enough financially for this thing to really take off, I won't ever have to personally produce. Those people are headed to destruction, in my opinion. I've not seen not one agency manager within AA that didn't successfully personally produce. Not one. I keep repeating it, but I'm doing it for emphasis. I've never seen anybody build an agency within AA and last that didn't personally produce as well. I did it. Everybody's done it. What I did not say was, all the agency managers were always the number one producers. I didn't say that. This actually oftentimes is not the case. But they knew how to personally produce so they could set the example for their team and they could train. So while all this building is going on, I'm really looking for number three, this guy number three on the slide, I'm looking for him to personally produce along the way too because I need him to make money. Ultimately, if number three is not making money, but the guy two in depth from him is blowing and going, the guy two in depth is going to pass him. Because he's not running good volume, he's not building. He's not doing the correct things. And I think all you guys realize, you got to keep working. This isn't a multi-level. You can't just hire one person and ride them to your financial future. You actually need to do something. And so, So anyway, I'm just looking for people that, from my perspective as somebody that's trying to work with builders, I'm just looking for somebody that says, yes, I want to build a team. And from there, quite honestly, from there are different levels of people that I'm going to work with. There are people on this call who have said, yes, Fitz, I want to build a team, and yet you're not doing all the 8 steps. And so you're not necessarily a priority for me. Now, you're more of a priority than somebody who doesn't want to build a team, but you're not necessarily a priority. Or you're not bringing on any width. You're not recruiting anybody. So you're not a priority for me. I have to prioritize that time. The people who are doing the things that I'm asking them to do, those are the people I actually have to work with first. And so once somebody has separated themselves from the agency by saying, yes, I want to build a team, okay, well, now I've got a whole new category of people that I'm working with. I have to categorize them as to who to work with first and who to put on a back burner. Does that make sense? No?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm an interactive speaker, guys. I'm looking for a yes or a no or a go to hell or something. Interactive means interact. Okay. Break the words down. Well, that's recruiting width versus depth. I know you guys are looking at this going, yeah, that makes sense to me, Fitz. But I'm confident that you probably don't understand it yet. So you'll see this more. Fitz, you just got on here saying you're confident we don't get this. Well, yeah. There's people that have been building teams for 5 years that don't get this. Yet they're doing it. So, I mean, anyway, you'll see this more.